Hello and welcome to another edition of Webinar Extra.
This is where we bring you some more time with one of our webinar presenters so that we can answer some of those additional questions that, well, there just wasn't enough time for during the live event.
Think of it as the dessert to the main course.
You mean the bonus track at the end of the album?
I mean the podcast after the night before.
And if you haven't already seen the webinar, then you can head to our College Online Learning page and check it out.
Or you can just keep listening, nodding sagely while you wonder what everyone is banging on about. The choice is yours.
We hope you enjoy the programme.
So hello, I'm Paramedic Bilku, Clinical Advisor at the College of Optometrists. I'd like to welcome all our listeners to our podcast, which follows up our recent webinar, The Future of Contact Lenses by Dr. Manbir Nagra. I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Nagra back again to answer the questions posed by our delegates that we didn't have time for in the live session. So to remind all our listeners, Dr. Nagra is an optometrist, educator and researcher working mainly in the fields of myopia, contact lenses and health technologies. She has worked as a lecturer and reader in optometry and vision science, and a teaching led to her being shortlisted as a finalist for the Association of Optometrists UK Award for Lecturing. She's immediate past chair of the British and Irish Universities and Colleges Committee of Contact Lens Educators and is currently involved with the British Contact Lens Association's Myopia Management Certificate as a certificate programme lead. So without further ado, let's start with the questions. Welcome, Manbir. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Perfect. So I've got a few questions here that we weren't able to answer in the live session. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I will start with the first one. Mm-hmm. So firstly, what do you see happening with telecare for contact lenses or anterior eye in the near future?
Well, I think increasingly now tools are being developed to facilitate the delivery of telecare, like mobile health apps to estimate visual acuity and so on, and imaging tools. And importantly, some of the new contact lenses that are being developed might feed into this field of telehealth. For example, the contact lenses that are being developed to monitor health, and contact lenses that are being developed to deliver therapeutics, drugs. So for us, as eye care practitioners, this field of telehealth is expanding, this field of remote care. And in the future, we might even start to see more integration with artificial intelligence. There have been reports showing developments in the anterior eye. The posterior eye, we'd seen a lot of that data being published. Now the anterior eye seems to be moving forward as well with models for keratoconus. It all sounds very interesting, but we actually undertook a review of contact lens-based telecare at the start of the pandemic. And what we found was that the evidence base really needs strengthening for anterior eye and contact lens care when it comes to telehealth. And there are challenges that are specific to contact lenses. For example, self-imaging using a mobile phone is difficult without the benefit of a slit lamp. And you know how much we rely on the slit lamp beam size and manipulating the angle. And it would be difficult to make an assessment without, for example, instilling fluorescein. But there are still ways in which we can develop and deliver telecare for contact lenses, but it's just a bit limited at the moment because the evidence base needs expanding.
I think when it comes to telecare, we do know that across all healthcare professions, that's become an increasingly new way of delivering care. We know in other areas it's established practice, but in optometry it's relatively new. So I can anticipate over time that it potentially will become a new way that we can deliver eye care safely in the future. And I absolutely agree with you. It's something that a change which is up and coming. The technology is there, it's getting better every time. So I can see it can help in enhancing the way we deliver care rather than being a hindrance.
Absolutely. So And it's, you know, and as I say, the posterior eye, that seems to have moved at pace, but the anterior contact lens aspect has lagged behind a little bit, but hopefully we'll see some more developments there.
Just to follow up on that, we actually had an interesting question from one of our attendees, and they're saying that they are really interested in these new lenses which have augmented reality or actually have biosensors built in within the material itself. But would these types of lenses be legal for driving? And particularly, especially with the pop-up information which gets displayed in your view?
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, of course, at the moment, these are all hypothetical discussions. The lenses are still under development. And so that means that the parameters for use are still being, you know, they're yet to be defined. And I would expect that somebody in the future will run a study specifically looking at safety and driving performance with these types of lenses. But, you know, it might be a very long time before we see something like that. But we can garner some clues from looking at some of the reports around Google Glass and smart glasses. Now, when they were first being talked about going to be introduced, there was a suggestion in the press that the Department of Transport here would ban those sorts of devices right. for driving. And there have actually been some academic studies, some research studies considering driving and smart glasses. Now, in general, it seems there is some evidence that driving performance can be compromised, can be impaired using those types of devices. Or that these additional tasks can serve as a distraction, perhaps not to the same extent as a smartphone, but a distraction nonetheless. But of course, it depends on the type of smart lens. I mean, as you say, an augmented reality lens is very different from a smart lens, which is for health monitoring purposes or a drug releasing lens. So it depends on the type of lens. But if we base it on the spectacles, it seems like they may serve as a bit of a distraction, but the safety testing will paint a clearer picture, hopefully.
I think we in modern cars now anyway, lots of them actually have head-up displays within the visor or the monitor itself, so that there could be argued there could be distractions. But like you said, the evidence needs to be borne out, safety studies need to be published. And once we get that, we can then move forward from that. But it's interesting to see.
It's also interesting that they're incorporating eye trackers. And I was trying to think any benefit to this. And if you've got image capture or video capture in a lens, you know, could it act as a bit of a dash cam? You know, except you've got this added benefit where there's an eye tracker. So could you, you know, in the future at some point record, you know, where the person was looking at that point in time as well, because you could combine those two things. But then I guess the counter argument would be, well, you know, what you see, that visual input, and then the time for the kind of more neural processing to take place and for you to act, there may be a delay. And anyway, I felt like I was playing out this whole court case in my head, and the lenses don't even exist yet. So I'm probably better to wait for the studies.
Well, I could imagine it would bring our premiums down, wouldn't it? But moving on to the next question. So again, linked to use of those smart contact lenses with the biosensors or augmented reality, or even another way to administer medications through the lenses. Are there any particular health risks associated wearing them? Any of the products that are, or the metals contained within the contact lenses themselves? Would that become a barrier to how people access those types of lenses, or would there be any health risks associated with them?
Well, I mean, firstly, we would expect any type of contact lens like this to be fitted and the reaction of the eye to be monitored by a healthcare practitioner like an optometrist or a CLO. And no doubt one of the key elements and one of the elements that's being talked about a lot in the papers about these lenses is, could there be an impact on ocular health and how do you protect the eye when these lenses undergo in human trials? All of that will be monitored, and as a profession we can rest assured that all of the safety checks would have had to been undertaken and passed for those lenses to arrive in our test yes. rooms. So, you know, there's a very rigorous process that occurs before something reaches the test room. Yes, of course, I'm sure there is a challenge incorporating where they're needed micro electronics or components into the lens. The drugs, I imagine, you know, the logic would dictate that it depends on the type of drug and how an individual eye reacts to it. So I think we'll learn more once the lenses become commercialized. We'll learn more once there's a greater uptake and more people are using them, and then we'll start to notice different features that might be attached to different physiological changes that may occur.
I think that moves on to the penultimate question, really. So having said all of that, like you said, there's a big background that goes on before a device comes to market. It needs to get medically approved, go through the correct licensing arrangement. But presumably, once it becomes available as a contact lens, which can be then prescribed and fitted by an eye care professional, there's always a danger that how people can access them. Mm-hmm. And one of the risks is online. So without getting an expert view, so how do you see that playing out?
Well, I mean, these types of lenses, you would hope that they would require an eye care practitioner to be involved in either the prescribing or supervising the sale. I think eye care practitioners often worry because there's been this history with cosmetic plano lenses. But, you know, in the early mid-2000s, it made clear that there was a change in the way these were regulated, that they have to be under the supervision of a registered optometrist or a dispensing optician. So, you know, on the regulatory front, I think that, yes, they may be available to purchase online, but I imagine they will be regulated just like any other lens. I think actually on the regulatory aspects, maybe the supply of plano smart glasses is more likely to take place without ECP involvement than contact lenses. Contact lenses it's far more regulated, it's stricter than plano smart glasses might be.
Absolutely, and I can imagine if it's a method to administer a medication, for example, that require a prescription, and so they wouldn't be able to be purchased without that prescription being validated.
Absolutely, and again, it just depends on which kind of smart lens we're talking about. If it is a drug releasing lens and it's involving a prescription only medication, it might be that it has to be sold in a particular way, and the supply of that, it may be limited to certain eye care practitioners who hold IP. The kinds of questions I think we'll be asking over the next few years going forward is, you know, who will be allowed to prescribe those drug releasing lenses? Will the prescriber of the lens have to be the prescriber of the drug? And in which case it would limit who can prescribe. So I think there's a lot to talk about, but mostly these are hypotheticals at the moment. We are seeing, for the drug releasing lenses, we've seen commercialization of one lens in certain parts of the world, the antihistamine lens. And there are, it seems like there's in-human trials for the first drug-releasing lens for patients with glaucoma as well. So things are definitely moving forward. So it will be interesting to see how this works out.
On the drug prescribing element, there's often some limitations in some trials about, although the drug can be released from the contact lens material, how do we know that it's actually getting absorbed into the target area of the eye? So I've recently attended the ARVO conference, and we had some amazing experiences listening to some experts within the area. But I wanted to have your thoughts about what would be the best approach to ensure we get the right therapeutic concentration in the eye through a contact lens device.
Yeah.
And how we would measure that.
Well, it's interesting because actually we so frequently use eye drops, but they are far from perfect. There are issues with the compliance and the bioavailability. The amount of the eye drop reaching its intended target is reported. It's reported to be around about 5%. So that's not great. Now, with these drug releasing contact lenses, the theory behind them is that the contact lens is sitting very close to the cornea. The post-lens tear film is very thin, it has a low turnover, and so drug retention time or residence time should be greater. than it is with an
right. eye.
But there are challenges. One of them is what they refer to as the burst release of the drug. So placing the lens on the eye and then all of the drug being released at one time, which is not helpful because it's just going to disperse, it's going to drain away. So there's various approaches being trialed to work out how to ensure more of a time to release. And you want it to be timed throughout the day sometimes. So if a patient has to use a drop, say several times a day, you don't want that burst release to occur and then they have negates the whole convenience aspect of it. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see the developments in this area. At the moment, I mean, there is some commercialization of the lenses, but there's many other drugs being trialed using this approach.
Could one approach be if we almost have like a biodegradable lens, which you place on the eye and it slowly yeah. releases the drug and it disperses and disintegrates in real time? So it almost gets absorbed on the eye.
Well, you know, actually, there is one approach that is being trialed where if you imagine it's sort of like biodegradable layers almost. And so that helps the outermost, the drug in the outermost layers being released more rapidly than the innermost layers. So it's actually not that far from. So, you know, these researchers probably spent decades coming up with that and you've just come up with it. So so it's something like that is possible to modulate drug release. Yes.
It's really interesting. Thank you, Mambu. You know, the expertise in this area is very much valued. And my brief naivety about how they would be dispersed is I'm glad that I'm on the same lines. on the final question then, so we had some queries from some of our attendees relating to about teleoptometry in general and telehealth. So firstly, could you give is there a definition about telehealth and would there be any changes in regulation required to facilitate that?
Sure. So on the definition of telehealth, telehealth usually refers to the provision or the monitoring of healthcare remotely, usually through some form of technology, but it comes in different forms. For example, the consultations could be in real time via video call or telephone. There's what's known as the store and forward approach. So sending or receiving messages or images that can be reviewed at a later date or forwarded on to a specialist for analysis at a later time. But the webinar itself focused very much on the type of telecare that is directly between the patient and a primary care eye care practitioner. And it was also specific to contact lenses. I think the second part of your question was around the regulation. And so I think that depends on what type of teleoptometry we're talking about. And it would depend on the professional guidance and any interpretation of that guidance at the time. But what obviously is very interesting is right now, at the moment, there's this call for evidence for changes to the Opticians Act. And that's a consultation period, which I'm sure you're aware of more than me. It began in March, it's running through until July, and one of the specific areas that's been highlighted within that is the delivery of remote care and technology. So I'm sure it will be the source of much discussion in the months to come.
Okay, thank you Mambu so much. So look forward to your evidence to supply to the Opticians Act review. We're very much looking forward to it. And like you said, our members are aware there's a consultation going on, mm-hmm. and certainly we'll welcome all their feedback and a wonderful response so far. So that wraps up all the questions. And thank you to Dr. Nagra once again for her time and expertise to answer our delegates' questions. To all our listeners, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Take care and hope to hear from you again soon.
Thank you very much for listening to another Webinar Extra.
For more college podcasts, head to the college website or just keep refreshing this feed every 5 seconds until another one appears.
And please do also like, rate and subscribe. And we'll speak to you again soon.